Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Real practical things tonight with you guys as we go into the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And, you know, and to say that it's important is an understatement. To say that the reasons why we pray, the reasons why we give, the reasons why we fast, we need to do these things corporately as a body. It's important. Individually, it's important that we do these things. And I want to walk you through some things I did today on our prayer pages. Hopefully everybody can see that released to you guys the first week of prayer and fasting, and we're praying for the church. Did was everybody able to open that document? Did anybody try to open the document? Amen. When we send things out, it's for the reason for you guys to get them. So when you respond, yes, I got it, or no, I didn't, it just helps. I mean, honestly, let me be real practical. It helps us to know that you're getting the things that we're putting out. So a lot of time goes into, just even over the last week, praying for the church. And so when we send this stuff out, we want to make sure you guys are getting it and that you're following along, because, we're operating in a vision together. Amen? Amen? Can I talk about that for a second? We're operating in a vision together. And so it's important. And so this first week, we're going to pray for the unity of the church. And not just this church, but I believe globally for the body of Christ. This is a year of great unity in the body of Christ, and we play a part of that, each and every one of us. So, if you didn't get that, if you have problems, I have some written copies tonight, and you guys can have that. If you don't have Facebook, I'll make that available to you guys weekly as they go weekly as we get into that. And use it as a guide. These aren't the only things that you should pray as the Spirit of God releases things in you to pray for. It's important, though. It's important that as you're setting time to pray and fast, that as God's releasing certain things in your life to pray and fast for, make mention of those, jot those things down, and pray for those things. Amen. So, it's like my son Zane said, if you're just not eating and you're not spending time in prayer, it's really pointless if you think that you're following along in a time of prayer and fasting, because, it needs to be accompanied with your prayer. And so prayer can be long, prayer can be, can be short, but it's important that it comes from the heart. Amen. Prayer from the heart is a powerful, powerful thing. So we're going to jump into some of this tonight, and praise God. How many of you ever fasted at the first part of the year? Who all does that in this house? So you fast the first part of the year. Who in here would say that's new for me? Fasting and prayer is something that's new. I know we have a lot of new people in this house, so we're going to save this podcast, and we're going to be able to help people understand and so many things that, we do believe that God is preparing this church for a variety of many things, but as we've had new converts in, one of the things we have to make sure we're doing is we're covering things and we're teaching and training. We always remain in a place of teaching in the house of God and training people and having them understand the scriptures. So, and fasting is a principle that honestly can unlock so many things in a believer's life. And the one thing I love about fasting, it's for everybody. It's not like just kings and priests and presidents fast. I mean, though, yet I could talk about fasting as a nation, because Abraham Lincoln fasted for the nation around the Civil War, that it would end, and it ended. And then, he fasted, and I believe it was the state of Alaska that was sold in the 1860s to the United States for like $1.6 million. Can I tell you, that was a good deal, that Russia doesn't have Alaska, but that we have Alaska. So there are things that nations do. And you'll see it in the Bible time and time again where, Esther, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, where she called a fast for the nation, for the Israelite nation, to enter into a fast. So So corporately, as we come together and fast, and we look over these prayer points and we come together in agreement, God is moving. Can I just even to give you guys an example, I look back last year and things that we set our faith in, and even mid-year in August, that, you know, we were fasting for this nation, that there would be a shift. God, there would be a shift in this nation. And, you know, I don't know if anybody felt it spiritually, but after this election, there was a lifting in this nation. And you can begin to feel things stirring in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, you know, if you're not feeling it, get in close, press into God, because, you know, God is getting ready, and I believe, to pour out his Spirit. Amen. Upon the church and upon every believer that desires it. Let me be very clear. If you're not desiring that and you're not wanting that, if you think, oh, that's for somebody else, then it will be for somebody else. But if you're hungry, take your Bibles, because I want to start with this tonight. It's Matthew 5:6, because you have to determine something on the inside of you when you begin to move into an area of fasting. And I could tell you so many of the mistakes that I've made in my life around fasting and without the Word and without Scripture or without the revelation. And honestly, I was just on a diet, you know, and I was just not eating because the church had called a fast, but I didn't understand what I was fasting or praying for. I don't blame the pastor. I blame myself for not digging in and looking at that. So, you know, We used to actually have prayer points for every day and all that. And I realized something a few years back, and I love prayer points, and they're used in the church. I realized something, you know, a couple years when we started putting things out. You know, this has to be a time dedicated and devoted by every believer. You can choose to do it or not choose to do it. I'm not upset one way or another. That is the honest truth. If you say, I'm going to fast, that's awesome. We'll point you in the right direction. If you say, hey, I don't feel to fast, I'm not upset with anybody one way or another. You know, some of you have jobs and you need nutrition, or you need to keep your body strong. You know, I would never recommend, if you're in a laborious job, that you go at it 24 hours a day and don't eat something. You don't get some kind of nutrition into your system, because you don't need to pass out. Many years ago, I had some brothers in Christ. They had been on an extended fast, and that happened to them. Minister Lehigh would remember that. They were at it for quite a few days, and their bodies were getting weak. I was like, you guys got to eat something. Now we're going to press in. And then it kind of hit them after a while, because they were in laborious jobs. And I know since then, you know, I know we've kind of joked about it, but there are certain things that you need to do. Amen. But let's look at this scripture, Matthew 5:6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. So I'm going to tell you something tonight, that fasting is something. It's hunger for the greater things of God spiritually. That you honestly, as a believer tonight, catch this. You can tap into some things maybe that you've never tapped into, which is the revelation of God. And I believe fasting, one of the things that it does is it changes things. It will change the atmosphere. It will unlock things in your life. And as that unlocking begins to happen, I want to tell you this. Be quick to move. Be quick to move as God is revealing things, as God is giving you revelation, as you're writing things down. You know, there are things that I wrote down last year as points of prayer and fasting that I remember very specifically saying that this is what needed to happen with this nation. Father, this nation needs an overhaul. Our government needs an overhaul, Father. Our House and our Senate and our chambers of government need an overhaul. And Father, expose the plans of the enemy. How many years have we prayed that? We've prayed that way. And I remember praying that last year. Lord, every plan of the enemy, that it would be exposed. And you know, now look, guys, to be honest with you, we've now seen those things begin to happen. And I believe that we'll even see over the next 2 or 3 months, there'll be people that go to jail. There will actually be people that will go to jail as a result of what they've tried to do to come against not just this nation, but the church. See, God's building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So I rest in that. Amen. Isn't that good that you and I can rest and you know that while we're here, God's church is going to advance. Amen. But blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You can be filled, and you can be filled again, and you can be filled again. It's continual in your life, amen, that you can be in a place of overflow in your life. You know, if your tank's running dry, I got good news for you. You know, it's like you when your tank's running dry, what do? You go to the gas station, you put gas in your car. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. When you're running dry, you get to a place with God where he can you put that thing in you, which is the Holy Ghost, and he fills you. And fasting, what it's going to do is it's going to bring your flesh. Amen. I don't know where anybody's at tonight, but I'm going to tell you, 3 days in a fast, everything can shift in 3 days, and I believe that. We're doing 21 dates, but I want you to understand that things can happen very quickly, and we'll see that. We're going to go through some of that stuff. I'm going to talk about it even Sunday. It's important that we understand places in the Bible where fasting, biblical fasting, broke strongholds. It healed a land, or it healed a nation. Amen. It healed the church. It brought power to the church even. Praise God. In Matthew 6:33, look at the scripture. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:31. So fasting, I understand this tonight. Fasting is a spiritual discipline in the Christian's life or in the believer's life. Fasting truly is hunger for God. Fasting truly is hunger for God. You know, when we fast, one of the things that we do is we're partnering with God. You know, God is desiring to be in partnership with you. You know, his spirit, you know, the Bible, when you become born again, the Spirit of God lives in you and dwells in you. But one of the things that God's wanting us to separate, he's wanting us to separate our flesh and learn how to draw closer to spiritual things. And when we begin to lay food aside, one of the things that it does is our spirit man begins to increase. Your flesh might get a little cranky. Your flesh might get a little tired. You might even get a little bit of a headache. But there are certain things that your body will begin to do as your spirit man gets built up. You know, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, please hear me tonight. It's good to be filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I believe everybody in here is tonight, but I would never want to leave or for you not to understand that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that's another form that will help you in your fast. You know, I don't always know what to pray, but the Spirit of God in me knows what to pray. Amen. So that's why I pray in the Holy Ghost. That's why I pray in tongues. Amen. That's why when the pastor says, come on, church, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. We stir things up on the inside of us. Amen. It's not like, no. You stir things up. You always have to be a believer that you're willing to stir things up on the inside of you. Because if you're not stirring those things up, guess what? The flesh is waging war, right? The flesh is waging war against the spirit. Oh, I don't feel like this tonight. Pastor, I don't feel like it. It's snowing outside. It's wet outside tonight, Pastor. Just understand, that's one of the things that the Lord's wanting to do. He's wanting to partner with you. You know, there are times, and I believe that in the Bible we'll see this and you'll examine this. There are times that God requires us to take a physical action. Take your Bibles. Let's just look at Esther real quick. Esther 4. Look at Esther 4. There are times in our life, and why we do this at the beginning of part of the year is that we're giving the Lord our first fruits. We're setting a course for the beginning part of the year to pray and fast and seek the Lord for the direction for this coming year. Yeah? Is everybody okay tonight? Is it just me? Is everybody okay? Esther chapter 4, look at this. It says, Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day, my maids, and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, and he did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Just jump over. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. It says, now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robe and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house. Now understand something. She basically could have been killed at this point. She wasn't allowed to have access to the king. That's why she said, if I perish, I perish. But this is why I need you to fast for me. I need you to fast for my life, but also you're fasting for a nation. It's twofold. It's not only that she's saying, he has every right. She knew her place in position that she had. He had every right to cut off her head and put her on a stake out front for everybody to see. But, you know, see, that's that something in us that's got to rise up. That if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do. Now, God's not asking us to die. He's not, yet anyway. He's not asking that. But I believe that even as we launch into this year, that there are things, there's real revelation that we can unlock in the Word of God. So as you're looking at verse 5, you're seeing this, and it says, so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor. What was it? She found favor in his sight. Favor. Does anybody need favor in your life? Three of you. Does anybody need favor in your life? I need favor. Guys, I need it. You need it. You need it in your workplace. You need it at the grocery store. You need favor in your life. We're talking about unlocking things, unlocking spiritual things. You need favor. I need favor. The church needs favor. You need that. I need that. We need that. Guys, we're advancing this year. So we need the favor of God. You read the prayer points that we put out. We're believing for us to break ground on a property this year. Calling in supernatural resources. Pastor, no, that's your vision. No, listen, if you think that's my vision, then you have a problem understanding that it's God's vision to expand his kingdom. It's not my vision. It's God's vision. And we're going to run with God's vision. Amen? And I love this so much because it shows that when our hearts are willing and when we're faithful, God will do. He will do the unmeasurable. He will do the things that we can't even think or imagine. But here, right here, the king had favor. He had favor on Esther in her life. Ask me what you wish. Who in here would like to hear that from your boss? Ask me what you want to make this year. You think I'm joking, don't you? Don't think small. Don't quit. Don't lock yourself. What are you going to do when your boss comes and says, how much do you want to make this year? Well, I don't know. You don't have an answer. You prepare yourself for the answer now. If I die, I die. I'm expecting God to do it. I'm expecting God to move on my behalf. That's what fasting does. It unlocks, it will begin to unlock things in your life that only God can do. You in your own natural self, your flesh, you can't do it. You can't show up to work enough in your own character. Yeah, you can have personal advancement throughout life, yes, but I'm telling you, the advancement from God is always so much better than the advancement of men. Seen it time and time again where God advanced somebody, not man. Why am I giving you a raise? Why? I remember Jesse. He's the greatest example that I had. He would come in every 2 months. I got another raise. I don't know why. Favor. Favor. And I remember sitting at the stoplight up here. 3 months in, Jesse looked at me and said, I got to go home. I can't make money here. I can't make any money here. I said, Jesse, You're going to make money here. The favor of God's going to be upon your life. Let's pray. And he was like, he's like, he believed me, right? He's trying, okay, yeah. We pray. Father, give him a job, that in this job that he would get promoted time and time and time again, that God's favor would be upon his life, be upon his children, be upon Christine. God, you didn't call him here to pull backwards. You didn't call him here to have lack. You know, they bought a house. I don't know if you guys understand how significant that is, but home ownership in Hawaii is not something that happens for a lot of people. Your average price is $1.5 million for a shack. So that's supernatural. That's a miracle from God. And so, you know, what? You know, let's fast. Let's pray. Let's believe the Lord. But see, favor will come upon the children of God. Can I just tell you something tonight, though? Would you just move into that area and expect that favor? Expect favor to fall. Don't, and when it falls and when it comes, don't be saying, well, you know, don't have pride. Don't have pride when favor falls. You know, I don't need it. Somebody else needs it. No, you need the favor of God on your life so that you can be a blessing to others. You give God the credit, yes, but when favor, you know what pride says? Pride will be like, you know, I just, you know, somebody else needs that. Then you should just quit giving. You should just quit fasting and you should just quit praying. You shouldn't do anything the Bible commands you to do. You should just give it all away. See, we do these things with expectation. Amen? We do these things with in believing that in the one true God, I can pull these things down from heaven. We're talking about fasting tonight, anyway. But see, Queen Esther, you know, the king said, Esther went near and she touched his scepter. And he said, ask what you will. What's your request? And I'll give it to you. Get ready for God to ask you what you want. Get ready to ask God what you want. Through a time carved off and set before the Lord. I'll say this about fasting. Listen, please hear this, and don't take it the wrong way. Set yourself up to expect. Why would you want to not eat for 21 days, and not expect God to do something? Why would you even want to do it for a day? So you understand? Can I get a water somewhere, please? So we set ourselves up to believe and expect God to do something. You know that there are times in the Bible. You know, even you see it in Exodus chapter 17. That there's a connection between what we do physically and what God releases spiritually. Let me say it one more time. There's a connection between what we do physically, what we do in the physical realm, and what God releases spiritually. Now, the story that I point to is where they were holding up Moses' hands. You guys know the story in the Old Testament, Exodus 17, I'm talking about? Where they were standing alongside Moses and they were holding up his hands. It was a physical act. It was a prophetic act. But as his hands fell down, they would lose the battle. But as his hands went up, they would win. You see what I'm saying? There's this physical act of we got to hold his hands up. We got to hold his hands high because we see what's happening when in the physical realm. We see what's happening. You could see it, but spiritually what God's doing is he's clearing away. You're winning the battles. So see, that's why that expectation, that's why setting your faith and expecting God to move on your behalf. Amen. So please hear me tonight. Expect God to move on your behalf. Maybe it's day one. Maybe it's day 21. I don't know. But expect God to move on your behalf. There are points I remember where God had us fast. We were fasting for a church building. Here I am fasting for another church. Praise God. I think God's trying to tell me something. But I've seen it happen. We were in Hana, like meeting at a Helene Hall. It's interesting because it was a great place to have church. It's on the beach, a great place. How do you say it? It's a great place from a beautiful standpoint to have church. But on a Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, you really never know what's going on at the beach. It can be loud. You can have motorcycles. You can have people driving by screaming, "Hey, bruh!" You know, and half the church is hollering back at them too. So it's an interesting place to have church. But you know, it was interesting. We began to set our faith. It was Pastor Jonathan was bringing a team back to Hana. And I remember saying, you know, I remember calling and said, you know, we began to set our faith for a building. We were given a building in K&I. We were meeting at the congregational church down there, and it was supernatural. God told us to go, we went. That's exactly how it happened. And did we have a plan? No, we just went because the Lord said go. And we've seen a lot of people get saved, not just from that area and that town. I mean, the whole town was saved, but beyond that, people from all over the world got saved. I mean, Halam, I remember a time jumped on a bus and led 30-some people to Jesus Christ, and half of them couldn't even speak English. But, you know, we would just take teams down there, and we would start services like that. At 8:30, 9 o'clock, we would go out and minister to people. People driving by, people from all over, you know. But I remember the point where we began to set our faith and fast for Hana in another building. Only what was so crazy about it, Helene Hall closed was it 3 or 4 weeks later after we moved out? It was very short, wasn't it? It was like they had a sewer problem. And they closed the whole facility down. And we began, you see, unseen things. We didn't know that was going to happen. We would have been kicked out of that location anyway. The county owned it. They dictated what we could or couldn't do for the most part. But here was God. We prayed and we fasted. And I remember walking into to our first meeting with a group of people to get to church. I mean, it was something. I don't know. I don't know how you explain the board. I would question whether or not some of them were even Christians. That would be the honest truth, wouldn't you say? That's a fair assessment. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't love Jesus, and they didn't care one way or another about whether we were having church there or not. They didn't care about souls. They didn't care about any of that. They cared about whether or not we could get more food trucks out back to make more money to keep some money flowing into the church. They cared more about what they could get out of our rent money than they ever did souls. But God spoke to me. He said, I don't care. You know, I remember the feeling that God, I remember God said, if this building is $4,000 a month, you'll have the money to pay the rent. That's all I knew. And so we took a step of faith and we said, okay, we're gonna declare. We fasted and we prayed, and we believe the Lord for this one location. There aren't a lot of other places to meet, so we prayed and we fasted. Went to a meeting, got frustrated, but we stood our ground. When they looked at us and says, "Well, we're just wondering if you could hand in some of your sermons," we're like, "Can." I don't know if it's going to help you any or not, especially mine. I'm still learning how to write sermons. Praise God. What's this mean? What's that mean? Now, Miranda's sermons, I could have handed hers in maybe. I don't know. But God did that through a time of prayer and fasting. And honestly, it was probably, I don't know, maybe 2 to 3 weeks a month, but I would say maybe under a month, that we seen God move in that position, move positionally in that area. There definitely have been times where I've seen God. You know, Miranda, at one point the Lord called her into a fast. And she woke up one day with a lump on her breast. Didn't tell anybody. She left Sunday night. She left church, and she was like, I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit. See, you can stay in tune with the Spirit of God. You can stay in a place where you're in tune with God when God says fast, or God says go pray with this person, or God says do this or do that. You know, God called her into a fast, and you know she knew not to tell me. So what she do? She got up and she fasted, and she fasted for 3 days. And I think it was the third day that she touched her breast, and the lump was actually gone. And then she told me, you know, hey, I just wanted to let you know. I was like, why didn't you tell me? And I don't know if it was completely gone. I said, why didn't you tell me? She was like, I didn't want to worry anybody because I knew God had called me to fast. He had called me to pray, and I knew this was going to leave. So personally, God can do that for you. God, you know, God can call you into a fast to pray, to go after something. Amen. That nobody, you know, honestly, and I tell you this, it's not that anybody needs to know about it. That God can do that, and you'll see that even in Scripture. I know I'm covering some territory here, but. And we'll get into a little more on this one Sunday. Are you writing some things down? Just a few things? You got a good word for me? Amen. Good. I'm glad you're taking notes tonight. See, fasting, let me say this. Fasting is for ordinary people. Anybody ordinary? I'm ordinary. I'm as ordinary as you get. Amen. Fasting is for ordinary people. Fasting is for kings and priests and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. It's for, see, the thing I want you to understand, fasting is for everybody. Okay, fasting is for everybody. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know what? Fasting doesn't manipulate God. And I want you to hear that tonight. Fasting does not manipulate God. You're not going to manipulate God. If I give this up, you do this for me. It doesn't work that way. Now you believe and you begin to profess and you begin to confess things, but you don't manipulate God. That's not what fasting is. Fasting is not a form or a way of manipulating God. You can't earn God's grace. You know, God's grace is free. Amen. Salvation is free. But there are certain things that we can do through obedience to unlock God's blessing and God's favor. Amen. So we're setting ourselves up. That's what we're doing. We're setting ourselves up through a time of prayer and through a time of fasting to receive from God. Amen. That's what we're doing. You know, Joshua 1:8, and I love the passage of Scripture. You know, Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." Amen. "For then you will be prosperous," the Bible says. You will be. So why do we do the will of God? Why do we do what the Word says? It's because that God, that we will be prosperous, that we will be successful. Amen. That I'm different. You're different, amen? We don't look like everybody else, right? We're different. But God wants to set you up for success. Fasting is one of the ways that we do that. Prayer with fasting is one of the ways we do that. Prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 6, did you guys go there? Let me just pull that up. Let's just pick up verse 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as a hypocrite do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." Now, I read this first passage because I want you to understand that there are three things that Jesus is talking about, even through Matthew chapter 6. Number one, he wants you to understand that it's important to give. It's important to give, and I'm not talking just about finances, but doing charitable deeds, being a giver. Being a giver, there are certain things that will unlock certain things. It's, you know, if you give somebody something, it's not for you to go sounding a trumpet or an alarm and look at what I've done. Look at me. I'm fasting. Look at me. I'm doing this. Look at me. So it's important that you understand that God wants us all. You'll see verses 1-4. He talks about us being in a place of being a giver. Amen. So, you know, understand, Matthew chapter 6 is so profound. Let's look at verse 5. Because you know, if we look at this in three parts, we look, okay, God's calling us to be a giver. The second part is he's calling us to be a prayer, amen, a prayer, a person that will walk out and be a person of prayer. Verse 5, it says, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will have their reward. But when you pray, go to your room, and when you shut the door,
pray to your Father who is in secret place, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain reputations as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask them. In the manner, therefore, pray. Pray. So we get the Lord's Prayer out of this next section. But to understand something, that you know, you have prayer points. You have things that we can follow alongside. But pray as the Lord directs you to pray. I mean, you know, is anybody believing for unsaved ones? I mean, not just to pray the prayer, but to live it and walk it out. I mean, you know, I got to tell you that, you know, I think our count this year was 256. Praise God. I'm thankful for people being one to Christ. Amen. Isn't that awesome? 256 salvations this year. That's awesome. That's great. We celebrate that. Amen. But man, I just, you know, the Lord's been touching my heart. Like, Lord, help us. Help us to make disciples. Help us to teach people. Not just that they are just hearers of the word, but they become doers of the word. Amen. And I believe that's what God's going to do even this coming year, that this church, guys, this church, we're all going to be a part of raising up disciples. Every one of us, every place where somebody can come into this house, it's a place where disciples can be made. Amen? Amen. That's one of my prayer points, one of my prayer points in fasting, personal prayer points. I know it says don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, but as a pastor, sometimes it's important that we're corporately in agreement. Amen. But see, that's something that we, you know, I'm going to, if you're running a team, you're a part of a team, you know, you set your faith now and you begin to pray for your team and you fast for your team. And, you know, we're fasting for the church. You every place where you're at, you begin to pray and fast and you Lord, you know, help me with this or show me this. And Lord, we're praying for more people and we're praying for more kids. Get your kids praying. Get your kids praying. As you're fasting and spending time in prayer, you'll get with your kids. You don't have to tell them, well, you know, I'm on a 21-day fast, children. You know, y'all need to fast with me. You know, that's what I'm talking about. But you get them excited because the power of God's being released in you. You guys believe God? Amen. I believe God. I honestly, wholeheartedly believe God's word, and I believe what God wants to do in this state is far beyond anything that we're doing right now. Amen. Amen. I truly believe that. But it's important that you understand that prayer. Jesus, you know, he goes through this first point, give, pray. And then thirdly, look at verse 16. Jesus goes into this and he says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they appear to men by fasting. And surely I say to you, they will have their reward. That's not a problem here. I know many of you guys have heard us teach and talk about that. So it's not like you guys are coming in here and, yeah, I've been fasting for 12 hours. Man, it's been rough. You know, it's not happening in here. Some people will do that, though. Some people, you know, just, what are you eating tonight? You know, I'm on the Daniel fast. You know, what's your recipe? What, you got any good recipes? I mean, I did that once too, you know. We had stew every night on the Daniel fast. You know what fasting means? It means to cover your mouth. That's what fasting means. It means to cover your mouth. It doesn't mean to buy the Daniel book to, and I want to say this, there's nothing wrong with Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, there's nothing wrong with what Daniel did, but that's not a fast. According to how I read the scriptures and understand the scriptures, fasting means to cover your mouth. Daniel chose in Daniel chapter 1, you should read that. It's a great, you'll see the segment of where Daniel didn't have any choice wine, he didn't have any choice meat. So he was choosing, it's like fasting Facebook. If you don't feel to be on internet to focus more on God or watch more TV, then do that. Yeah, I don't know. Fasting means to cover your mouth. That's in short of it, that in terms, that's what fasting means. Assuredly I say to you that they will have their reward, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, your Father will see in secret and will reward you openly. So
So, you know, I make all the points out of this and out of Matthew chapter 6. You know, God will reward you. We don't have to announce when we pray. Now, there are things that we do corporately. You know, it's like it's like when I go to conference, doctor, he requires pastors to be in prayer. Now, people are coming from all over the world, and it's kind of fun to be in a prayer meeting. I mean, Don, one brother Don, I think one morning had to get me out of bed because I was tired. I didn't want to get up. He's woke me up. Said, "Come on, we got to get up and go to prayer." You know, and but doctor requires he requires us all to be in prayer. Why is that important? Why is it important to pray corporately as a church? I mean, just why would you, Miranda? You can't answer. Why would you guys say corporately it's important to pray as a church? Open up. Why do you guys think it's important? There's an anointing on it, Brother John. We're one body. It's his vision. Where two or more gathered. What else? Unity. Any other reasons? Yeah. I mean, you could sit here and list off, you honestly could list off reasons why it's important that we pray. I can honestly tell you guys, I mean, in 4 or 5 years now that since we've had a continual prayer meeting in this house, God's moved. God's moved. I'll even go to step further. I don't even know at this point if we hadn't started praying before COVID and before everything hit that we would still be here. You know that's and I understand what doctor says. I understand the element of what he's saying about the importance of prayer and the corporate anointing. The greatest miracle, you know, he told me I've ever seen is prayer. So when we come together corporately, some are listening, I know, because they're working. But I believe those people that are listening, they're praying. You know, or they get away. You know, Jamie, Jamie gets away. You know, she gets away from, you know, I don't know where she goes. Sometimes I wonder if she's in a closet. I think Brother Don asked her the other day, Jamie, can you pray? And, yeah, wait 1 second. I got to, you know, you can hear her shuffling her feet and maneuvering around to get somewhere where she can pray. But praise God. You know, and you know what's interesting? Even as a team of people that pray, we pray, and we're praying for Jamie's workplace. And then Jamie leads 4 people to Christ in her workplace. Do you guys understand the significance of these things? I think we need to pinch ourselves. You know, God's not moving. No, he is moving. Quit saying he's not moving. If he's not moving in your life, then change that. Change it in your life that he is moving. Change it. He's moving. He's moving through prayer. I just take your Bibles, go to Luke 4. Praise God. You become receptive to God when you fast. There are things that will happen when you fast that it's like, for better lack of terms, it's like you got antennas. I'm sorry. Huh? Do you do that all the time? Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was a new form of drinking water. I didn't know. I looked over and Amanda was like this. She didn't have her lips on the bottle. She was pouring water. And I was like, I've never seen anybody do that before. Anyway. You become receptive to God when you fast. And one of the meaning is like you have spiritual antennas. Like there are things that you will begin to be sensitive to. You can begin to be sensitive to maybe a sin in your life or something that God wants you to deal with. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. There's things that can break in your life at that point in time. Pay attention to, you know, there will be things that people say that will frustrate you when you're fasting. Yeah? Anybody fasted for any amount of time and you walk into work and somebody drops the F-bomb 27 times. It's all in one paragraph, too. Like, they flow the words very, very generally, nicely together. It will frustrate you. Or they'll talk about God, you know, but then they'll talk about how they love Jesus, and then they'll swear, and they'll talk about all the problems they have, and they'll talk about the person next to them in the other cubicle, but they still love God. They go to church. Those things will begin to frustrate you because your spirit man, it's like that spirit is like, that's not right. So your job and your responsibility at this point in time, please understand, make sure you're hearing from God. It's not for you to go bring a bunch of correction to people. It can happen at times, but remain sensitive to the Spirit of God when you're fasting. Pray for opportune times to share the good news. You believe the Lord will give you those times individually with people. Amen? Look at Luke chapter 4. And the devil, in verse 3, you become receptive. And so we understand that, you know, in Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus, the Spirit of God, came upon him. So understand what you're born again. See, I wouldn't advise anybody to fast. I mean, people fast, they go to the gym, and they work out. Fasting has become a thing it's big. You know, you can get the carnivore diet, you can get the fasting diet and fast so many hours. It's become popular. But even fasting, you know, there's so much information out about it now. It's like fasting, what it does is it replenishes stem cells. Your body actually will begin to restore itself when you fast. It's why people do it. It's why people in Hollywood, you know, when they need to cut whatever weight, they can drop weight so quick is because they'll fast. They'll go 24-hour fast. And so people do it for health reasons. So there is a benefit in fasting. It can bring, there's blood sugar can get regulated, blood pressure. There's certain things that can, so you pay attention to that stuff. You know, these are things that can actually help your body. But I want you to see this in Luke chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by the word of God.'" This is Jesus. And so the enemy come in to tempt him. We understand that when there's a breaking away and when there's a time that corporately that God's asking you to step away and to pray and fast, please be aware. Just have an awareness that you know, and I'm not, we're not giving the place to the enemy, but be aware that there are temptations that are going to come and can come. But that's why you're building up your spirit, man, and that's why you use the word of God to fight. That's why you spiritually, as you go a day, 2 days, 3 days, you'll begin to feel strong in your spirit. And by day five, I mean, you know, six, seven, you'll be like, But it doesn't mean that the enemy is going to just maybe back off. You know, I remember a time that I was fasting, I think it was in 7 or 8 days, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and for whatever reason, I was hungry. Right? Yeah, you get hungry when you fast. I went to the refrigerator. Everybody was in bed. I sit down. I made me a ham and cheese sandwich. I know this sounds pathetic, right? This really, truly does sound pathetic. I made myself a ham sandwich. I turned the TV on. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I sit there, and I took like 3 bites of this sandwich, and I'm like, it hit me. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm on a fast. And I was like, man, you know, you hate to feel like you're coming off a fast on 3 bites of a ham and cheese sandwich. I like ham and cheese sandwiches, but that's not, you know, you'd think it would be something better, but it wasn't for me. It was a ham and cheese sandwich. I threw the sandwich away, and I had Maui onion chips. I mean, the combination was really working for me. I mean, it was good. It was so good. Probably a Mountain Dew at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. It was all good. But I remember at that point was like when I was like, I was beating myself up. Like, I know better. What am I doing? And I remember, you know, and I don't remember who I heard teaching about it. And, you know, and they said, just get back on your fast. Just get back on your fast. Don't think the world's ended. Yeah, I messed up. These 21 days are over. Got to wait till January 2026. That's what, you know, we think of what God can only move January 1st through January 22nd. No. It's my desire and my plan. And, you know, Friday night, there'll be prayer at this church Friday night. I'll be here Friday night. I feel corporately there'll be times that we meet, and I'll be here Friday night at 7 o'clock. And I feel to call prayer meeting Friday night. If you can make it, great. We'll be online with it. But I feel to have prayer here Friday night. So I'm going to be obedient to do what the Lord. This is an important month. This is an important month. If you got plans, that's great. If you got plans, you feel like they're kind of loose, cancel them. Come to prayer. It'll be fun. So, amen. But understand, there's an enemy that when we fast. That's why having the Word of God, studying the Word, being in the Word, knowing how to combat the tactics of the enemy. When you fast, you're going to get hungry, okay? That's a part of it. Your body will go through some detox. You might get headaches. Fluids, please drink fluids. You know, it's important to do that. Keep fluids into your body. Amen. I think it was Brother Tiff. You guys might remember the story, but he had a friend that went on, a 40-day fast, and he actually died. You know that story, Brother Don? Brother Tiff shares. He, what was it? Yeah. He went on a 40-day fast and ate a sandwich on day 40, and his stomach exploded. And it was a guy that he was in Bible school with. So you got to be, you hear from God, amen? You hear from God the types of fast, and we'll get into that here in a second. So let me just jump into that. I'll save some of this for later. Pastor Moran, you have anything real quick? Okay. How do you prepare for a fast? How do you prepare for a fast? Here's the practical stuff. You might need to remove some things from your refrigerator. Okay, you might need to be like, man, that ham that we had for Christmas, it's got to go. If we have any food we need to get rid of that we need to give away? Miranda, Zane sent a message, got to California, and she's like, I've been eating out of the refrigerator today, and I sent back, I said, yeah, she's up to 8,000 calories today. She's storing up for the next 7 days. So 8,000 calories. I don't think you could eat, I could probably eat 8,000. I could eat 8,000 calories, but I don't know that you could. But you might have to get rid of some stuff out of your refrigerator, okay? You know, things that might be things of temptation, you know, candy bars, Snickers, you know, that little sugar fix you get sometimes or whatever. I mean, get you know, everybody's like, man, you're talking about the good stuff now, you know, the pocket sized things, a Snicker popping in, you know, get things out of your life that can cause you to stumble in those areas, right? It's not like Satan's filling your pockets up with Snicker bars. You do that in the morning when you get up, right? When you go to work and, you know, or... You know, so look at what's in your fridge. If you have to remove some stuff, remove some stuff. I want to tell you this because set your faith to begin to read the Word and prepare yourself to get in the Word, okay? And secondly, something that will help you, that if you're not involved in our 6 or 8 a.m. prayer call, corporately coming around that, we'll be praying prayer points throughout this month. That's a good place to get yourself, even if you're just listening or if you're working, just set time to be in those prayer meetings. Because it's a corporate fast that we're calling. There's a corporate anointing that we're believing to come upon the things that we're praying for. So those are some things that you can do. But I will add to this, that if you're working, you know, where Moran and I, our schedule's very different. If you're driving, it might be that you pop certain podcasts in. I don't know if Pastor Jonathan's doing teaching this month. Do you know? You know, I know that we followed Jonathan Shuttlesworth for many years through a time of prayer and fasting. Brother Teddy will put stuff, but he put stuff out too, and Pastor Bracken has done some things. Jensen Franklin is another. I mean, he's a fasting machine. There are certain people that do certain things that you can plug into those things and listen to teachings. They'll help you. You're getting the Word of God sowed into you. See, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you begin to change routines. You know, normal things, if you're working, you can listen to a podcast or you can put something on in the background. Whatever it is, you begin to change that atmosphere. Amen? You're believing for some things to shift, right? That's what you're believing for. You know, I will say this. sometime through the day, whether it's 30 minutes, it's at the beginning of a day, or at the end of a day, take time to position yourself to hear from God. Grab a journal book. Whether you're in the Word reading the Word, you've dissected a podcast, you're getting scriptures, there's prayer points, you have that, you guys have access to that. Sit down and begin to journal and write down things, A, that you're hearing, that the Lord is speaking to you, specific things he's wanting you to pray for, maybe it's people to talk to. You know, always when I fast, God, there'll be directions that I go in this January. You know, there'll be certain things that I know as a history of fasting that God will send me certain places to go to certain areas. It's part of my thing that I know God does with me. I set myself up to hear, okay, why am I driving here? Well, this is because I told you to go this direction. There's times that God's told me through a time of prayer and fasting, you go anoint the borders. There's, you know, last year I wrote down, it's funny because last year during time of prayer and fasting, I don't know if anybody said that, but I believe that I felt through a time of prayer and fasting that there would be six angels released over the United States last year. And I, not to get into it tonight, but there were points and times that I felt like there was such strong angelic host being released over this nation, but I prayed that way. Lord, release your angels, bands of angels. I believe that at the time of an election, I feel the Holy Ghost on that. That's one of the things that we've seen happen. We've seen angelic hosts being released. You don't always know, but God, he'll give you something to pray for. It's like you hear stories that we're praying for this guy in Africa. We don't know why we're praying for Mozambique. We don't know why we're praying for somebody in a faraway land or a nation. I don't know why I'm praying for this person or that or that. It'll happen through a time of prayer and fasting. Brother David going to England. I'm praying for England. I don't live there. He's going. Good luck. You know, that's not how I see it. He's a brother in Christ. You guys see what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it's like Brother David, you know, it's like, I don't know. And it's interesting because even as you go, I mean, we're going to be praying for you. I know that. And Brother David's like, you know, I'm still going to be on prayer. You know, and I know he will be. I like prayer. I like to be in prayer with you guys. I can't say it the way you say it, but I wish I had a British accent sometime, Brother David. I'm trying. But as you're positioning yourself, write things down. Write things down, okay? It's so important to write things down as you're hearing things. Okay? Write things down. And as you know, we're praying for the church the first week. I felt this is very significant right now. This is very, very significant right now. And I will hold some things that I felt even this past week where we have to be prayed up. Guys, we have to be prayed up. You know, there's a lot of great words being released this year. But I'm telling you, we've got to be prayed up. There is never a time on planet Earth that we ever let our guards down. Amen. So we don't do that as a church. Amen. You know, limit normal things that you might do. You know, if you go to the gym and you like the gym, maybe you need to limit that. Maybe if you go 7 days a week, you might need to limit that to three or four, or the type of workouts that you're doing, if you're choosing to fast. If you're fasting sun up till sundown, you know, make sure you're spending time with the Word. Make sure you're doing that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with going to the gym. Be healthy. Amen. God wants you to be healthy. Praise God. But I'm not picking on you, Ryan. So Ryan looked at me the other day. He's like, I haven't been to the gym in like a month. Because his work schedule has been crazy, but you know, as you might have to slow some normal activity down, right? You may not be able to go at it 150 mile an hour like you normally do, because you're fasting, and your boss won't understand it. It's not like you got to go talk to your boss. You know, it's 21 days prayer and fasting. You know, I'm just going to take it easy this next month. You know, That's that whole what you do in secret thing. Your boss don't care. He's going to want you to perform even greater. Amen? So work hard. Do the things that you're asked to do at work. Praise God. Know this, that when you fast, you're going to be, you will begin to feel differently. Like I said, you're pushing your flesh down. You will, like I said, you might get headaches. You might get your body's detoxing itself. You might get short-tempered. You might just get, you might be frustrated. Amen. You might, I need my sugar fix or whatever. You know, you might, you need to eat a piece of bread. You know, anything for sugar, right? There might be things like that that happen. I told you that this was some of the practical stuff. So just making yourself aware, it's important. Three types of fast that that we recommend, and is first one is a liquid fast. You're drinking liquids. Again, if you're working, you have a job that's strenuous or something like that, I know they make protein shakes where you can get, I don't even know what they are, like 400 calories. I know that's not a lot, but like, you know what those protein shakes are? I don't know. Ryan probably knows. 400 calories, maybe. I think they sell them at Sam's. You know, if you're working a job like that, those protein shakes can be good to keep your body at least fueled. You'll burn through that very quickly. It's not like, you know, you burn 400 calories very quickly anyway. So, but those are things that you can liquid fast. Now, if you're going to McDonald's and getting the $6 milkshake with cherry and whipped cream that's 17,000 calories, that's you're kind of defeating the purpose of a fast. So I remember one time I had to tell a guy, I was like, he was telling me about his fast. He's like, yeah, I was fasting. I got two big milkshakes at a place by Taco Bell. What was the name of it? Jack in the Box. I had to drink two big milkshakes on the way home. It's like, that's a lot of calories, like 3,400 calories, right? You could have just ate a steak dinner. So so liquid fast. Another type of fasting that if you're working a full-time job, you know, sun up till sundown, one meal a day, sun up till sundown would basically, you know, you would fast during the day and you would eat at night. You would break at the end of a night with a time of eating, and then you get back on your fast. So that's another form of fasting, is one meal a day. I remember Adalis, and I remember when Jonathan was teaching on a point at one time, and he said, yeah, I remember Adalis and Abel and some of the ones with the revival today. It was like they would have, like, at 5 o'clock, they would have everything laid out to break fast at 6 o'clock, and, you know, because they had, you know, had everything. And so, you know, just use wisdom around it. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't, if you're breaking at 6 o'clock for a meal or something like that to keep your body fueled, I wouldn't, like, eat 12,000 calorie meal. You know, I would just keep your head around it. Keep your, because, you know, if you eat enough on one setting to carry your body, you're not denying your flesh. That's the best way to put it. You're not putting your flesh down. You know, you're going to be concentrated. Okay, what am I going to have tomorrow night? That was a good meal. You know, it's like, you know, my body feels better. Your body will begin to feel better. That's one, your body will begin to feel better. Okay? Bathroom things can change too. So just so you're aware, you know, things may go through you very quickly, day three or day four. So being practical. So sun up till sundown, liquid fast. I would encourage you guys, if you've never fasted, to start with at least a meal or maybe two meals. And if you've never fasted for a complete day, it's a good place to start with fasting. It's a good place to start with fasting. So I know some of you guys have come to me and said, well, you know, I work through the week and I fast on weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is what I want to tell you. Do what God's telling you to do. We're calling 21 days. That's what we're doing. We're calling 21 days. But I'm going to ask you guys to jump into this thing, though. Not only for the church, but we're going to be praying for our families, and we're going to be praying. I want you guys to also be, you're going to be positioning yourself to pray for revelation from God for yourself as well. And that'll be the last week of prayer and fasting, that we're believing for God to do great things in people's lives. Amen. I want that for my life. Anybody else want that? We want that for our lives. Amen. We want great things from God. Praise God. I don't have anything else. I do, but I think it's a good place to start. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that you're here and that you that 2025. I mean, God's honestly saved some of your people's some of your lives are saved because of God. Whether somebody was praying for you, but you're here for such a time as this. I believe that. Amen. And we'll take ground. I believe that. Amen. Questions? Any questions in closing? Clear as mud, right? Everybody got all that, right? Y'all understood everything? Let's pray. Just lift your hands in the house. Father, I thank you tonight for this house and for this church. And Father, I thank you for these 21 days, Father, that as we set aside a time of prayer and time of fasting, I thank you for fresh revelation, Father, from heaven. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, we do this, Lord, to hear from you, Father, that the windows of heaven would be opened over this congregation and over this church and over us as a people, Father. And Lord, God, may we clearly have eyes to see everything that you want us to see through this time, Father. That January is a time of just seeking you and acquiring, Father, to hear directly from heaven. So, Father, we thank you for that. We rebuke the devourer now in Jesus' mighty name. And, Father, we thank you that, Father, you're going to quicken us to do mighty things this year in 2025. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life, make me brand new, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.